Welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Harry.
And I'm Oscar, FPL Focal.
Well, the ever reliable Erling Haaland blanked the Arsenal defence without Gabriel, conceded to a goal from almost the halfway line, and Semenyo, the most highly owned midfielder, didn't show up. This game never disappoints, but I think we've got a couple of green arrows, which is always nice when you're recording. Oscar, tell me how your game week went.
Yeah, it was a pretty good week, actually. 59 points all out. Really, I was sort of carried by Munoz, Anderson and Enzo. The three of them got me double-digit returns. Munoz with the goal, the clean sheet bonus. Anderson, clean sheet DEFCON. And of course, Enzo finally scoring as well. I did captain Haaland, but for me, it's between him and Saka. And obviously, neither ended up doing anything. Bruno was popular, Mateta was. Lots of blanks, really, from popular captains. Of course, I had Semenya as well, who unexpectedly missed out. Mukiele came off the bench for me. He got the DEFCONs as well. But yeah, 59 points, green arrow to 71K. How'd you get on?
Yeah, 49 for me. The basic difference between my team and yours is I unfortunately don't have Daniel Munoz. I have the ever reliable Chris Richards though. So I do at least have a piece of the Crystal Palace defence, but just six for him. I had Marc Guillou on the bench for Chelsea, who got the assist for that Enzo Fernandez goal, but as an Enzo Fernandez owner, right at the death. Just when you think your game week is starting with a blank, it is definitely nice to have that sort of last minute return to give you that bit of a boost after I've held him for a few weeks. As you say, yeah, there are a lot of blanks for a lot of the more popular, highly owned captaincy players this week. Haaland was actually the biggest underperformer of XG in the entire game with 1.54 XG in that game. So I feel quite unlucky not to get anything, and particularly watching it, it definitely could have gone a little bit different to how it did.
So should we start with the first game of the game, your team Chelsea, because I do want to pick your brains on Chelsea as well. Caicedo was rested, wasn't he? But obviously still 3 points nonetheless for Chelsea, clean sheet. Neto with the goal, and as you said, Enzo with that late goal, who we both had. And I believe Enzo ended up snatching three bonus as well. So I love it when that happens, because obviously like a midfielder goal is 5 points, but when they get the bonus on top of that, it's like an 8-point goal, isn't it, for Enzo? So I was really happy with that. And he's shown a lot of promise, right? Like in game week 11, 0.7 XGI. The week before that, 0.65 XGI. In game week 9, 0.56 XGI. And then he scores last match. Obviously, it's Arsenal next. So the big talking point is, do you keep Enzo or do you sell? What's your view on that? And have you got any plans for Enzo in your team?
Yeah, so I suppose a talking point quite early on in the pod is I might be playing my free hit this week. So we might have a chip active going into game week 13 for me, which would change things a little bit, because as you say, that Arsenal fixture for Chelsea is one of them you probably don't want to own many Chelsea players for. Even as a Chelsea fan, I'm not sure I'd be owning Enzo Fernandez on my free hit. I'm not sure how many Arsenal players I'll also own on it, though. It's probably a game that I'd look to avoid and just hope and pray as a Chelsea fan that we could do something that the Arsenal ownership doesn't come back to bite me. I do think Enzo Fernandez will be probably the best Chelsea attacker to own if you want to hold one for the long term. We see that Cole Palmer has been pictured back in training yesterday after he broke his toe during last week. So there's going to be bits of rotation for the wingers. Pedro Neto does play a lot of minutes, but we do have Gittens, we do have Garnacho, we do have Estevao as well. Through the middle, you're going to have Palmer, Enzo, João Pedro and Delap. And I feel like Enzo Fernandez, along with Caicedo, are the two that are going to get the most minutes. So I don't have a particular problem with looking to hold him. This week, the fixture's not great, but I'm still pretty happy with, if you want a Chelsea attacker, he's the one who's most likely to play the most minutes over a very busy Christmas period.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? The free hit 13, because that Chelsea versus Arsenal game is an excuse to use it, but you know how good Arsenal have been, and you can just see it happening. Like, you get rid of Saka, you know, you get rid of a Arsenal defender and they end up Saka goal, Arsenal clean sheet or something. But yeah, it's a tricky one. I think I'm going to keep hold of him because, like I said, the underlying number is really good for Enzo, and I just need to look past the Arsenal game. I was having a look at the midfielder data just before we went live, and he's registered 6.24 non-penalty expected goal involvement this season. I like looking at non-pen XGI because obviously pens are kind of unpredictable. And obviously Palmer's back soon anyway, so Enzo definitely won't be on the next penalty. 6.24 non-pen XGI is literally top in the league among midfielders. So I can see myself keeping hold of Enzo, and I just have to ride this Arsenal game out. I think he's a solid pick, and I think Caicedo probably hold as well, despite that benching. I guess that it might be like, you know, 14 out of 15 games he ends up on the bench. I think he's probably fine to hold as well. Santos had a great game, didn't he? But obviously he's not much of an FPL prospect. I think João Pedro is the one that I'd be looking to sell if I had him. 75 minutes, right? Came off a little bit early there, the yellow cards. So just a one pointer for him.
Yeah, I think João Pedro is a slightly easier sell, although I would say the replacements for Enzo Fernandez are probably easier than maybe the replacements for João Pedro, because looking at some of the forwards, they feel a little bit difficult to pick at the moment. So maybe you end up sticking with him, but I agree. Particularly that Leeds away fixture in game week 14, not game week 13, game week 14 is midweek, and we've seen Chelsea rotate and Maresca rotate quite a lot in that fixture in the past. I think we remember last year we had Southampton in that midweek fixture and there were something like 8 or 9 changes. So just a little bit of word of caution that we might see similar there. Although if in some world Chelsea were to get some sort of result against Arsenal and the gap at the top of the league wasn't as big as maybe it is now, we might see a little bit of a shift in focus. But yeah, I think Enzo is probably the one that I look at that I'm quite happy to own long-term. Defensively, Chalobah and Cucurella along with Sanchez will play the majority of games. There might be the odd one where it doesn't happen, but I still like us defensively. But the upcoming fixtures are okay for attackers, but I'm not sure I'd be looking at us defensively with some of them.
Another one who unexpectedly missed out was Semenya, and I think we both have him. You have Semenya as well. So he obviously he withdrew from international duty with that injury, and that was a big concern. And then it transpires that he'd proposed to his girlfriend, so he thought, oh, maybe it's actually that. And then he misses out, and apparently it's illness. So I'm not sure what's going on, if there's some smoke and mirrors, because obviously there's these rumours about a release clause, like is he going to be leaving in January? So it's a bit of an odd one, Semenya. If it is illness, you'd expect him to be back next game week. So what would be your plan with him if you weren't free hitting? Would you keep him?
Yeah, normally I'd be a little bit annoyed that he didn't show up. But having Anderson of Fulham as my first sub, who I probably shouldn't have benched, then having that come in is almost sweeter than Semenya scoring those points if he'd started anyway. So I suppose I have the little bit of a luxury if I'm on free hit this week that I don't have to worry about it this week. And if he misses this week again, then I can be pretty sure that there's a bit of an issue there and something that we probably need to deal with. It sounds like it was an illness from listening to Iraola after the game, and we probably are expecting to have him back available going into the Sunderland away fixture. And actually, I was looking at this. We've spoken a lot this season about how good Sunderland have been, and they have been great, but some of their defensive data is starting to get a little bit worse. So they have conceded just over 1.2 XG per game this season, but over the last six, that's over 1.4. We are seeing, Fulham put over 2 XG over them in game week 12. So there is definite regression for Sunderland, which is probably expected given how incredibly they started as a team newly promoted to the league. Now, they are better at home, so Bournemouth going away to them this weekend won't be nearly as easy as maybe a home fixture against Sunderland. That feels like one of the big disparities between a home and away fixture for a team. Sunderland probably have the biggest difference in how I feel about a player going away to them versus having them at home. But yeah, I think if there's any chance that Semenya is going to be back available, it's still a good fixture for him, and I'd want to do my best to hold on to him.
And that's 5 points in the last 4 game weeks now, which is obviously quite worrying. But I do like the fixtures as well. Beyond the Sunderland, they've got Everton home game week 14. They've got Man United away game week 16, which I don't think is necessarily a bad game. And then after that, they've got Burnley home game week 17. So I think I'm going to just stay patient with him and keep hold, unless something else transpires before the deadline. But I think he looks fine. And I don't know, the midfielders feel really tricky right now. I don't really know where to go with them, which again is why I might just end up keeping Enzo, because I don't think for me it's very clear what's the best midfield right now. So I've got Saka, I've got Enzo, Semenya and Bruno Fernandes, that's it. So I don't know. I feel like I might just end up keeping them. I mean, Mbeumo looks great, but obviously he's off to AFCON soon. So it's tricky to kind of gauge where to go. Obviously there's players like Gakpo as well, but Liverpool not convincing either, so yeah, I might just end up doing nothing. When in doubt, sometimes I just do nothing and that ends up being the best thing to do. Another one who's not been very encouraging recently from Bournemouth is Senesi, right? he started the season so well, and he did get the assist against West Ham. I'll give him that, but he has been stinking it up as of late, hasn't he? He's averaging 2.8 points per game over the last six game weeks. Only one clean sheet in his last seven games. You've got Senesi, haven't you? What's your thinking with him?
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably look to hold on to him probably for a couple of those games that they've got Everton and Burnley at home in the next few. And then, as you say, their defensive data as well has started to take a bit of a turn for the worse, conceding a couple of goals here. Now, both very well taken by Callum Wilson, which is always one to keep an eye on from an FPL point of view. His injury record has not been great, but we know when he's on the pitch, he's absolutely capable of scoring. And he's quite cheap at about 5.8 million if you wanted a slight differential, because as we said, forwards feel a little bit difficult to pick at the moment. So yeah, back to Senesi, I'm okay with him. He got an assist here, didn't get DEFCON, unfortunately. If he'd have had that, he'd would have had an okay return. He created a couple of other chances. It's just the clean sheets, which you do really need for defenders. As much as you might be adding other things on top, it would be nice to have the clean sheets, which they aren't really getting at the moment. So a fine short-term hold, but long-term, I think I'll probably be looking for a replacement. Just another shout out to actually a bit of a cheap midfielder is Marcus Tavernier, who's actually played a lot of minutes so far this season, including 590 minutes in a row. He also has 3 goals, 1 assist so far this season, and took the penalty while Semenyo was not there. And it sounds like Kluivert is also not going to be available. Just maybe one to have a look at. His minutes are creeping up and a bit of an interesting maybe differential in that midfield bracket.
Yeah, I think I more or less agree there. And yeah, Senesi, like, he is an absolute DEFCON beast. 12.31 DEFCONs per 90 for Senesi, which is top in the league among defenders. 75% success rate for him is also top in the league. So perhaps still worth holding, unless you can get to someone like a Munoz, which might be worth switching. But yeah, last thing I wanted to say on that fixture was West Ham conceded just over 4 expected goals, which was the most last game week. 28 shots conceded, 22 in the box. So I'm looking at that and sort of licking my lips. I've still got the triple captain. So I'm thinking game week 17, when Haaland's home to West Ham. They've got the League Cup midweek before that. So maybe even Haaland gets a little midweek rest. So yeah, I'm potentially looking at that week for the triple captainship. And also, Diouf and Wan-Bissaka will have both just left for AFCON as well. So that's where I'm kind of thinking. Have you still got the triple captain?
Yeah, so I'm looking at the same week in game week 17, which will be Haaland at home to West Ham. This is also another week if people wanted to play it. Haaland at home to Leeds, I think, is another good fixture if you've got it. I think there are 3 good weeks for Haaland. 13, 15 and 17, which is Leeds at home, Sunderland at home and West Ham at home, are probably the 3 weeks that I'd look to play it. But I take more courage from this, because on free hit this week, I'm likely to include a bit of Liverpool. And maybe we can talk about them next, because they go away to West Ham, and all the chances that Bournemouth created in this game, although they didn't take them all, maybe some of the Liverpool players that I can decide to punt on in my free hit in game week 13 might get some of these chances that Bournemouth had this week. So let's talk about Liverpool. Liverpool 0, Nottingham Forest 3. Both of us went for Virgil van Dijk, I think, as our Gabriel replacement. And I have to admit, I'm sat here regretting it a little bit that I didn't just go and buy another Arsenal defender, because apart from a great goal from a very long way out from Richarlison, they looked just as solid defensively without Gabriel as they do when he's playing. We can talk a lot about Liverpool, and I'm sure we will from an FPL point of view, but there's a few things on Nottingham Forest which I think are quite interesting. This is another clean sheet for them. They've started to look a little bit better in all competitions under Sean Dyche. Murillo with a goal. Gibbs White, I think that's 3 goals in 3 for him. You've got an assist for Williams, who's dropped in price a couple of times since the start of the season. And also Elliot Anderson at 5.3 is actually one who is very much on my radar. He's very good for DEFCON. He's basically started to do everything we thought he'd do at the beginning of the season, and the points are starting to roll in a little bit for him. So before we talk about Liverpool, is there any interest from you on Forest?
Yeah, the fixtures are really nice. So first of all, I think, yeah, the defenders are quite interesting. Yeah, Murillo, as you said, he gets the goal, the clean sheet, DEFCON, so 17-pointer. I believe Nico Williams is on 4 yellow, so that puts me off a bit, but he does look like the best or the cheapest route into the defence, potentially. Yeah, Anderson's also interesting me. He's on 13.08 DEFCONs per 90, which is literally top in the league across all positions, mids or defenders. He's dropped a couple of times in price to 5.3 million, so that makes him quite appealing. Maybe Anderson if I was going to buy anyone. I'm not sure outside of that. But yeah, it could have been a bigger swing, that Van Dijk transfer, because it was him or Timber for me. And it sort of boiled down to Van Dijk being cheaper and have, you know, extra money for potential upgrades elsewhere, which Timber didn't afford. And obviously Timber got that assist and I was like, oh no, here we go. But they did concede, obviously. So
yeah,
it was only 2 points difference in the end, but we'll have to see if that gap widens longer term. Outside of that, not too keen on Forest, but I do think there's some interesting picks there. But yeah, I can't believe that. 3-0 at home at Anfield. There's only been two occasions in the Premier League of a team starting the day in the relegation zone and then winning by three or more goals against the reigning champions. And it was actually Forest both times. They did it in 1992 against Leeds, and then they did it against Liverpool on the weekend. But, can't believe Isak as well. Do you remember back in the summer we were saying, wow, this is one of the best transfer windows in history, potentially, because they were making such incredible signings, Liverpool. But Isak is the first Liverpool player in Premier League history to end on the losing side in each of his first four starts. Just unbelievable. Because despite all that, the fixtures are incredible. So who are you looking at then on your free hit if you're going to get a Liverpool player or two?
Yeah, so I still think that I'm going to look more in terms of the attack, despite the fact that they didn't score in this game. I'm not sure how much I trust them defensively. I've got Van Dijk in my team before the free hit, but I'm looking to probably end up taking him out. And it's probably the attackers. Now, with Florian Wirtz likely still injured, it does make Gakpo quite a nice punt. He played 90 minutes in this game against Forest, which the issue always for him is the slight risk of minutes. And he played them all, which is always a nice boost if you're considering him. And then I probably will end up finding a way to try and squeeze Mo Salah in there. Now, he's not going to get the captaincy armband. It will be on Erling Haaland at home to Leeds. But I still think if you're looking to find a way to the Liverpool attack and to where their goals are, unless we can confidently say which of Isak or Ekitike is going to start up front, then Gakpo and Mo Salah are probably the two that I'd look at. If for some reason we also thought that Dominic Szoboszlai was going to get minutes back in central midfield, then maybe he'd be back on my radar. But whilst he's, you know, playing right back, it's difficult to think that he's worth a spot on a free hit. So Salah and Gakpo are probably the two that I've got my eye most on going into this game. And they're going to have to put up a bit of performance. They need a real bounce back after that. So I don't expect any risk of minutes, despite how many fixtures they've got coming up.
And that's the thing with the free hit. Like, I wouldn't be rushing to spend 14 point whatever on Salah or maybe even buying Gakpo. But yeah, I think those are the two fixtures to target next week. West Ham are playing against Liverpool. 20.82 expected goals conceded is second worst. And Burnley are worst in the league. 25.72 expected goals conceded. So it's Brentford home to Burnley, right? So that's got to be the other fixture that you look to target. Should we talk a bit about Brentford and maybe who you're looking at on your free hit?
Yeah, it just depends how many more penalties Brentford are going to get this season.
And I was about to say,
I'm not speaking as a bitter non-Thiago owner to an owner who owns Thiago, but there was a very small part of me that was, well, quite pleased that Thiago missed that second penalty, because he is getting more penalties than anyone in the league. And when I own penalty takers in the likes of Bruno Fernandes, Semenya or Haaland in recent weeks, they seem to miss them. And whenever the players I don't own get them, they seem to slot them in. But it is the season of the penalty miss. And I heard a stat that Verbruggen has saved less than 4% of the penalties that he's faced in his career. And here he is stepping up to save one of the most highly owned FPL picks in the game in Thiago's penalty. But it was the sort of tale of three big FPL picks in this game. Thiago with the goal, Welbeck with a goal, and Minté with a couple of assists. All three of them are very much on radar for me. And I'm looking at Minté in my midfield and trying to find a way to get him in, I think.
Yeah, I think that's five penalties Thiago's taken this season, and he scored four. So yeah, just the one missed. I was devastated, I can't lie, as an owner, because that obviously is quite a big swing. You get the negative points instead of the goal points and the bonus. But I can't complain. I have been pretty lucky since buying him. Yeah, I really like Minté. He's only 6.1 million. As you said, he got the two assists and he ended up getting the maximum bonus. That was Welbeck's seventh goal of the season as well. He's quietly doing well. I still think if I was picking one or the other, they're about the same price, aren't they, Welbeck and Thiago? I'd still rather Thiago, but
yeah, I
think Welbeck's a solid option. The other one, I've not really seen him mentioned anywhere, but maybe on a free hit is Sharda. He's on four yellows, so I don't know if I'd be buying him because he's one away from suspension. Are you looking at him at all on the free hit?
Yeah, I'll probably end up with either Sharda or Danga Ouattara as a sort of midfield punt on my free hit. At the moment, Kevin Sharda is the one I'm looking at slightly more. His minutes feel slightly more reliable than you're getting with Danga Ouattara, despite the fact that Danga was pretty good at the start of the season. So yeah, I think, as you say, if I'm looking this week, Brentford are our top priority, and I probably will end up going with one of them defensively, whether that's Kelleher in goal or whether that's someone like a Vandenberg or a Collins in the defence. I probably will end up going with three of them on free hit with the fixture they've got. And it's, of course, the slight difference. If you're not playing the chip this week, which you aren't, it's a great fixture this week, but then it's probably the opposite, right? They probably have the biggest contrasting game week 13, 14 fixtures that you can get. They've got Burnley at home followed by Arsenal away. So you can pile into them for this great fixture, but you do have a slight issue when next week rolls around, which is quite nice if you're on free hit for one of the 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. I'm potentially looking at the free hit in 14 instead because of how the fixtures land for me. So like Thiago's got Arsenal, I've got Anderson, I've got Mukiele that have difficult fixtures in 14 as well. There is one other budget forward that might be going under the radar a little bit. I probably wouldn't be rushing to buy him this week or even 14, but from 15 onwards, potentially. Raul Jimenez, he played 90 minutes last game. Mm-hmm. He's on a goal and two assists in his last four games. He's only 6.2 million. And the reason he's appealing is Muniz is out for a while. I think he's not back until something like February, maybe a few months he's out injured. I think he might have had to have surgery. So he's an interesting one for 6.2 million. The forwards really aren't inspiring confidence much recently. Like I've got Mateta as well, who's not done a great deal. But yeah, Fulham won, Sunderland nil. Anderson with a double digit return. He got the DEFCON and bonus. He's another one that's been brilliant for DEFCONs. 11.19 DEFCONs per 90 for Anderson, which is second most among defenders after Senesi.
Yeah, Anderson has been a really nice pick and a great one this week. 15 DEFCON for him this week is great. It was a fixture that I wasn't as certain on. I actually thought Sunderland would get something from this. So yeah, have a reinvigorated confidence in having Anderson in my team. Jimenez, as you say, is one that I'm slowly keeping my eye on. With Muniz having hamstring surgery, it just boosts his minutes. Whilst both of them are available, it's so difficult to pick them. And we've had such an issue with it over the past few years when Fulham have had both of them available. But as soon as one of them is out injured, the other one gets a massive boost to their potential minutes. And we know that Jimenez, when he plays, likely takes penalties and he's very good at them, which is also a nice little extra boost. So if you're looking for a forward, he's also got to be in the conversation, I think. As you say, some of the short-term fixtures are not quite as good, but when we get to about game week 16 and we get the African Cup of Nations transfers, they have a really nice run and it could be something that you go to use some of those transfers on. They play Burnley away in game week 16, Forest at home in 17, and West Ham away in game week 18. Could be a nice place to use some of your AFCON transfers if you don't have anywhere else to use them.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, I'm just going to try and scrape through the next couple of game weeks, I think, with Anderson on the bench. And then, yeah, game week 15 onwards, he looks nice to start again. He's got Palace home in game week 15. Another defender who's done pretty well for DEFCONs this season, well, there's actually a couple of Palace, isn't there? There's Richards and then Lacroix. And they've both done really well recently, but Lacroix ended up getting the double-digit return, right? Because he got the assist. And of course, the headline as well was Munoz. he's been really lucky for me. I brought him in and I know like what he's capable of, but it just feels very lucky still when you end up getting a double-digit return from a defender. But that is two goals, three assists this season for him. And that's the same goal involvement total that Rodgers, Gakpo, Doku have. It's one more than Saar and Bowen even now. So I kind of like to reframe him as like, he's like a midfielder that's 5.9 million and he gets you 4 points for any clean sheets. You've got Richards, right? Are you looking at Munoz at all, or you just kind of feel like you're stuck with Richards now?
I feel a little bit like I'm stuck with Richards, but I would love to have one of the others because whether it's Lacroix, whether it's Gueye, or whether it's Munoz, Richards is great, but he never is going to be the defender that changes my game week. He's never going to be the one that hits me a 14, 15 pointer or more. It's basically never going to happen. And he's fine. He's 4.5 million. He's up to 4.6. He's reliable. He plays in a great defense. So I'm very happy with him as a pick in isolation. But as I say, he's never going to be the player that changes my game week from a good game week to a great game week. Whereas a Lacroix, a Gueye, a Munoz absolutely have that ability. And I went with Sarr instead, who I thought was going to be that player. And he's had chances, and unfortunately it hasn't worked out. And then to see again that the Palace defenders do it. I like Richards, but I do think there's a time in the next few weeks that I will look at one of the others. The issue with it is Munoz is up to 5.9 million now, which is a lot to spend on him. And I'd have to free up quite a lot to go from Richards all the way up to Daniel Munoz. So at the moment, it's not something I'm directly looking at. It might be something when game week 16 again rolls around and I have a few extra transfers that I might look to do it, especially when I free up a bit of money by selling someone like Sarr, who's going to AFCON. So I love having Richards and he's been a great pick, I think, but it's just every week I look at it and there's always another Palace defender who does something more than he does.
And they've only conceded 14.5 expected goals, Palace, so that's fifth best. So yeah, they, like you said, they've been a really good defence. They've kept 6 clean sheets as well, which is second most. Only Arsenal have kept more of 7. Chelsea have also kept 6. So yeah, they've been really solid. It's an awkward one when you, like you said, when you've got Richards or someone like Agüero or Lacroix, they've done all right, the other two, but it's like, do you upgrade to Munoz or is there like scope to potentially go double defence, or do you think that's a bit too overinvested to add Munoz in addition to a Palace defender if you've already got one?
I think Richards just offers great value in what he is. So I don't mind having him as a sort of fourth or fifth defender. And when I sell Sarr, or when Sarr goes away to the African Cup of Nations, I don't think there's that many other Palace players that you particularly want. Maybe Pino will come in after his great goal in this game, and maybe he'll start to enter the conversation. But once Sarr goes, I think having a double up on the Palace defence is no problem if Richards is sort of your fourth or fifth defender. So it's definitely something that I'm considering in the next couple of weeks once Sarr goes, that I could just do one of my other defenders up to Munoz, because I owned him really early last season, and that was one of the things that gave me a great finish last season was how early I got on Daniel Munoz. And I'm looking at everyone else having fun with him this year and thinking that was me last year and I just wish I was on it.
And the last thing to mention that fixture was Mateta off at 59 minutes. Very, very annoying. 1 minute short of getting the extra appearance point there. And might be an ongoing theme in this winter period, right? Because Palace's schedule is busier than anyone's. And it was Nketiah who came on for him. He's back from injury. But as I said earlier, the other forwards aren't really inspiring. So again, I might just do nothing with Mateta and just hope he can sort of come back and start to tick along. But yeah, just one goal in his last 4 games.
Yeah, Mateta, his minutes are a bit of an issue. And I think anyone who owned him at the end of last season will know exactly how much of an issue it can be. In the last 10 games of last season, he didn't play more than 75 minutes once in any of those games. And he had, I think, 5 or 4 pre-60-minute subs in that time. And we're entering to a period where they have a lot of fixtures, just like they did at the very end of last season when they were still in that incredible FA Cup run. So as a Mateta owner, I am absolutely looking at it and thinking, are we going to see what we saw at the end of last season, where he gets taken off early, he gets taken off at halftime, he doesn't start the odd game because he can't play as many minutes as maybe we'd like him to, especially with Nketiah there. Yes, I again, like you, I don't have a direct replacement. I don't have someone I'm particularly looking to sell. And you look at the fixtures and you think, well, United at home and then it's Burnley away looks pretty good for him for the next couple. But that Burnley away fixture is midweek, and I'm starting to wonder if that's a week where we could see Nketiah get the start as an example. And then when you start to add that bit of doubt into it, it just makes me even more concerned about 8 million for Mateta.
And from this weekend, they've got a game about every 3.5 days all the way to the new year. So it's just a crazy schedule. And you remember last season, there was double game week 32, double game week 33, wasn't it, for Palace, back-to-back doubles.
Yeah.
And the minutes were absolutely all over the place for the likes of Sarr, Eze, Mateta. But Munoz, he played 90 minutes in all 4 games in those back-to-back double game weeks, which is the other thing about him, right? You just know he's going to start. His fitness is incredible. So I also really like that about him for this winter period.
I'm going to have to find a way to buy him. I absolutely am. I think someone like a Lacroix is also going to get very good minutes. I think the majority of them are going to. I think Richards is probably the one most at threat because they have someone like a Canvo, but we've also seen him rested a couple of times in Europe. We also saw him not go away on international duty to try and manage his load. So there is that slight doubt with him. And yeah, you're making me want to buy Munoz even more than I already did coming into this pod, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it could be Mateta that I sell at some point in this period. I'm still not ruling out getting Volta Marder, but yeah, we might have to keep an eye on Visser's potential return. And he had some really good chances for Altamada in that game against City. Mm. He didn't score in the end, but a 2-1 win for Newcastle. And yeah, Haaland failed to score for the third time this season. Just the third time. That's crazy. As you said, he had 1.54 expected goals, though. So he had some really good chances. But yeah, Harvey Barnes had a hell of a day. In his FPL team, he benched Foden, Haaland and Reinders against his own team. And of course, he ends up scoring a brace as well to win it.
Yeah, you got to love it when an FPL, well, when a Premier League player does that and backs themselves. You've got to love the confidence, especially when it comes out. Did he own himself in his team?
He actually didn't, but I'm sure he didn't mind too much.
Yeah, I bet he wish he transferred him in.
Yeah. And the last time a Newcastle player scored twice against City was Alan Shearer, by the way, 2003. So hell of a result that for Newcastle. And I thought Haaland would get something out of this one. And obviously, I thought they might miss Burn, but they didn't in the end. So yeah, massive result for that. Points drop for City. Good game week, actually, for Arsenal from a Premier League table perspective. I suppose next game week, it's just going to be default Haaland captain, isn't it? But I think, as you said earlier, there is scope to triple captain. I do think, as we were saying earlier, that West Ham home game in game week 17, I think is the best opportunity. But you can make a case in FPL to sort of just play what's in front of you, right? Like, we know Haaland's going to be available this game week. We know Leeds home is an amazing fixture. You never know what could happen by the time you get to game week 17. So I think it's probably the second best opportunity, assuming nothing goes wrong between now and game week 17. So I'm still thinking about it, the triple captain, and just sort of get it out of the way, get it done. But yeah, it's close. I think I'm 60-40 in favour of saving it. Hey, are you looking at any Man City players on your free hit?
Yes, again, at home to Leeds, I'll probably be taking three of them. Just slightly difficult to predict which three it's going to be. At the moment, I've just gone with a little bit of security and I've gone with double defence with Donnarumma and O'Reilly. I've also looked at Guardiola. Now, once they play Champions League midweek, if I can take a better punt on someone like a Doku or a Phil Foden at home to Leeds, then I very much might do that. And that's probably what I'd like to do. But if there's any uncertainty about starts, because City play again midweek, then they play weekend, and then they play midweek, and there's a lot of minutes for a lot of players there. So unless I can feel confident on trying to predict which of those City attackers is going to start, then I'll probably end up on the double defence, because I feel pretty confident about that this week. So I'll have at least one defender. O'Reilly is in at the moment. Again, I'll see how I feel about his minutes with Aignori being there. It could end up being Donnarumma or Guardiola instead of him. But yeah, a triple up on Man City feels very likely, I think, on free hit.
Yeah, I like the O'Reilly shout. I think as a normal transfer, it does scare me a little bit. I can't see him starting every game, especially in the busiest time of the season. So I don't know if I could see myself buying him. But I think on a free hit, it makes a lot of sense if you can predict that start. But yeah, we've got the midweek games anyway in Europe, so we'll have to see how those play out. It was a loss as well for Leeds playing home as well last game week. 2-1 loss to Aston Villa there. But Rodgers with a brace. Did you see the free kick?
Yes, great free kick. Well, a good free kick and maybe some better goalkeeping that could have potentially gone with it. But yeah, Aston Villa, I think, are one loss in the last six and Liverpool have one win in the last six. And it happens to be the game that they played each other and Liverpool beat Aston Villa. But Aston Villa very quietly doing very well over the past few weeks, and Morgan Rodgers very much at the front of that. And with Wolves at home this week, is in my free hit at the moment. It's in the draft that I'm looking at. It looks like a great fixture. If Daniel Marlin isn't getting loads of minutes in Europe on Thursday, I could have a look at him as well. But I feel like Rodgers just feels the safest. And if I'm going to own a Villa player for this fixture, it should be him, I think.
Yeah, you have to kind of put it aside in your head when a player's disappointed you in the past. And you have to be, I guess, open to change your opinions on a player. Because I think we both start the season with Rodgers. I don't know if you held him as long as me, but I kept him for five game weeks where, of course, at the start of the season, Aston Villa just weren't even scoring, let alone Morgan Rodgers. And then he did start delivering. I think it was like game week six onwards, the very week that I sold him, and Watkins, in fact. Yeah, I think he's a nice one. Obviously, Wolves, they've conceded more than anyone, bottom of the Premier League table. Aston Villa play them home. So I think there are some interesting picks there. Maybe just Rodgers from the midfield. I mean, Marlon was amazing when he came on, but I think the minutes are still a little bit of a concern there. Probably wouldn't go for Watkins, but maybe in defence, there's an option or two there. Are you looking at someone like a Cash or a Martinez?
Yeah, Cash is currently on my bench or my bench boost, just so I can say that I was close enough to picking him, but he didn't end up in my starting 11. I quite like him, particularly this week. His attacking threat is pretty good. He looks more nailed than we've seen in past seasons. It's a great fixture at home to Wolves. Someone like a Konsa isn't good enough for defensive contribution, so it kind of rules out the rest of the Aston Villa defense. So Cash is probably the most reliable for minutes. So he's one I'm considering. He hasn't quite made it in yet, but yeah, definitely one who's on radar. There are some players on radar that I don't have on my free hit, and that is basically all the Arsenal players. 4-1 winners at home to Spurs. You must have had a pretty good Sunday afternoon as an Arsenal fan. Eze hat-trick as well, just to write the newspaper headlines, just to write all the narratives at the end of that game. Timber with an assist, Trossard with an assist, Rice with an assist, Marino with an assist, Trossard with a goal. Eze and Trossard taking the headlines. Saka, just defensive contributions this week. The big debate is, are the Arsenal goals going to be shared around too much for Saka to be worth 10 million, or going into a busy Christmas period, are you just happy paying 10 million for the minutes that you're going to get from him? And I'd just be interested to know what your thoughts are when all these other Arsenal players like Martinelli and Odegaard are back, what it does for someone like an Eze and a Trossard, because they look great value at the moment.
Yeah, they do. I'm still not sure on Eze, despite the hat trick, which might be a hot take. And yeah, again, with the likes of Trossard, even though he scored, I'm just not sure if I trust them enough for the minutes. And Saka, in theory, should be nailed for every game. And I do think there'll be games where he's coming off early, because Madueke was back as well last match from his injury. So there is that. But again, like, the recurring theme for me is I'm not really sure in terms of midfielders. I don't think it's clear, like, who are the best midfielders to own right now. So like I kind of said earlier, when I'm not sure, I just think do nothing. So I'm happy to just keep hold of Saka, and we know what he's capable of. But yeah, the Arsenal defence, again, like, just 0.07 expected goals conceded. Unbelievable. Still conceded, of course. The Arsenal defence was hovering about 100% effective ownership, so it didn't really matter too much either way. But yeah, only 6.21 XGC over the season for Arsenal, which is comfortably top. Like, they're conceding a big chance every 146 minutes. And of course, Gabriel's out injured for a while now, but this season, the backup or the depth in the defence is absolutely ridiculous. Like, Kapié and Mosquera are just such talented backup centre-backs to come in and do a job. So, yeah, my gut feeling was that it shouldn't really affect the Arsenal defence with Gabriel out. Obviously, he is a big loss, but I don't think it's going to matter too much, you know, until he returns. Touch wood anyway.
Yeah, no, I think I probably agree. And yeah, I'm looking at Timber and I'm looking at Saliba and probably wishing that I had one of those two in my defence going forward, and some nice fixtures. Chelsea away this week's not great, but Brentford at home the week after, and some nice long-term fixtures. What are your thoughts on Declan Rice? Probably the other one that people are looking at. He's never the one that maybe explodes as much as maybe some of the others do, but his minutes are good. He's nice and reliable, and he's nice and cheap. He's going to be on that team sheet every week. And if you're great for set pieces, although you didn't score one against Spurs at the weekend, he's very much involved in taking them, which is why he's got so many assists.
Yeah, exactly. He can get the returns on open play. He's on the corners on the left side, the odd direct free kick as well. I think he's one of those that I'd say is like a patient pick. Like, if you go for him, you're just going to have to stick with him for a long time. Because I think I won't be surprised if he ends the season on about 180 points, which, you know, in hindsight would be really good for what he costs. But he's probably going to just sort of slowly tick along, you know, 6 points here, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, sort of just that sort of player that'll tick along and probably rarely haul. That's kind of my gut feeling on him. I think I'm likely to end up adding Timber as a third Arsenal asset. I've sold Gabriel for Van Dijk, so I've got that scope to add a third. And I think right now, if anything, it'll just be double defence that comes in, and it'll probably be Timber. I think I prefer Timber over Rice right now, but I don't dislike the Rice pick either.
And then the final game on Monday night, just when you've got all your players left to play, you've got a Bruno Fernandes, you've got a Brian and Bermo, you've got an Illiman and Dye, and you're hoping for a little bit of Monday night magic to change your game week. But no, it was Kieran Dewsbury Hall owners that came away, or anyone who was getting a Tarkowski or a Michael Keane in their team, or maybe off the bench for a Semenyo, that came out with the points. As a Bruno Fernandes owner, he got 11 defensive contributions, which is always very disappointing to see your player get quite so close to the threshold. Brian Bermo picked up a yellow card, which was from a Bruno Fernandes sort of horrible back pass to him that he ended up having to force a foul, which Brian and Burma, people who went with Brian and Burma over Bruno Fernandes probably thought, that's the asset that I don't want doing anything, causing my player to get a yellow card. But yeah, not the best performance from Manchester United, and a very good performance after the first 20 minutes of drama for Everton.
Yeah, it was a dramatic game to end the game. It was Garner getting that red card for the slap on Keane, wasn't it? But yeah, Dewsbury Hall, a goal, maximum bonus, and Defcon, 13-pointer. I mean, if any of you listen had him as an auto sub, like, well played. That is very jammy. Enjoy the auto sub points. But yeah, Bruno, 0.67 expected goal involvement, which is pretty respectable. That's his most since game week 6, actually. And he's another one. Like, he's been kind of frustrating. He's sort of ticked along. He's missed a couple of pens. And I just, and again, I'm not sure where to go with him. So I can see myself just holding on to him. Cunha, of course, missed out as well. He was another one, forgot to mention there. A lot of people picked him up even. And I think he still is an interesting option. It was a minor head injury, so we'll expect him back next game week, I'm sure. Obviously, we've got Sesko out for a while injured. We've got Mbeumo going off to AFCON soon. So you, in theory, he should be really good for minutes long term. So I still think he's an interesting option. You definitely hold him if you've just bought him. But yeah, the headline really was the red card and the Dewsbury Hall. And as we were saying earlier, there is midweek football on in Europe before the next deadline. So the general advice is to think about what you're going to do with your team, but save those transfers before doing anything, just in case any surprises come up midweek in Europe. Good luck to you next game week, everyone.
And as always, Kelly, Jules and Sam will be back on Thursday to discuss everything you need to know and after some of those European games for game week 13 and a look ahead to their teams and which players you might be wanting or if you're on free hit.
And if you haven't already, don't forget to join the FPL Pod Mini League. The code is as follows, XY6XPL. Harry, it's been great chatting. Good luck on the free hit next game week as well.
Thank you and good luck to you if you free hit the week after. And good luck to everyone listening. Enjoy your week.